And please do take your Bibles, turn back to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. We'll be looking at the text that Ben read also in chapter 20, the Ten Commandments today. So when we moved to Edgebrook and became the pastor here at this church, Charlie was a year and a half old. And Charlie started kindergarten at the age of five over at Edgebrook School, which is just north of here on the other side of Devon Avenue. And from the time that he started kindergarten until, so that was about the age of five, until he started, and we were going back and forth on the exact date of this, either third or fourth grade, so either the age of nine or the age of 10, we had a rule in our house. And the rule was this, that Charlie had to walk to and from school with either his mother or I. The reason for this, of course, is that we wanted to make sure he got to Edgebrook School and back again safely. If you've ever been around Devon Avenue around 8 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday, you know that that's a pretty dangerous street to cross. So, children, how many of you have rules that your parents have about crossing dangerous streets? Just raise your hands. Almost all of you. There's a little John Rowland's hand going up. I like that. So kids, I'm sure there are other rules that your parents have for you. So raise your hand if there's a rule in your house about bedtime on school nights. Fewer hands now, okay? All right, how about, is there a rule about how much TV you can watch during the week? Let's see those hands. Wow, not as many as I thought. Okay. Is there a rule in your house, kids, about how much time you can spend on your phone or playing video games? No? Well, a few. Okay. All right. Is there a rule about when you can have friends over? Yes. All right. A few. Okay. Now, kids, let me tell you, parents make rules for you because you're their child. I mean, think about that for a minute. That may seem obvious, but parents don't generally make rules for other parents' children, unless they happen to be staying over at your house overnight. Now, the reason they make rules for you, among other things, is fundamentally and basically, you're their kid. And this may be obvious, but it merits mentioning. Before the rules, there's a relationship. Before the rules come, there's a relationship. It's because you're their child that they have these rules. And that's the way it is with God as well. And we see that in the story of God with the children of Israel this morning. Now, last week, we looked at the story of how God delivered Israel from slavery and from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. You remember that. And I know for our children who are down in Kingdoms Kids, you're learning exactly the same story in Kingdoms Kids that we're looking at together up here in worship every Sunday morning. So after they get out of the Red Sea, if you continue to read in the book of Exodus, they begin this journey through the desert until they arrive at Mount Sinai. Now, Mount Sinai was the place that they were told by God to come and gather together and worship him at that mountain. Now, not long into that journey into the desert, the children of Israel started to grumble. They started to complain. They were thirsty. They were tired. They were hungry. And God provided for them. God provided water. God provided manna and quail. I guess there were no 7-Elevens in the wilderness at this time. So that's what God provided for them. And it was like God was on this road trip with the children of Israel. And for any of us who've been on a road trip, we know you don't have to go long until the younger ones sometimes get tired. It gets hot. They start complaining. But what we see as they travel through the desert to Mount Sinai is God does not stop caring for them, no matter how much they complain. So in chapter 15 and 16 and 17 of Exodus, we see just how deeply committed God is to the children of Israel. So that when they finally arrive at Sinai in Exodus 19, God tells the people, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself, brought you now to this place. How I brought you," I love that, what God says to them, "how I brought you to myself. The Lord is their God. The Lord is the one that has set them free and brought them safely to Sinai. The Lord God is in this special relationship with these, his children, this his beloved community. And now at Sinai, the Lord God is about to give them the Ten Commandments." And what these commandments show is God's profound concern that the relationship that Israel has with him will continue to grow, that it will continue to go deeper, so that their lives might flourish and they might joyfully live out the purpose for their lives that God has given them. For you see, the Lord set them free from slavery. That's the story we looked at last week. But God also set them free for something. He not only set them free from something, he set them free for something. And that was a growing relationship with him, to be his treasured possession out of all the peoples, and to be a kingdom of priests to all the nations. And so you see that before God gave that very first commandment, the people of Israel were in relationship with God. He was their God. And so, when Moses comes down from the mountain and declares to them the fact that God once more affirms that relationship he has with them, the people respond with this wonderful affirmation: "We will do everything the Lord has said." They recognized the values of what God was going to give them in order to get more deeply rooted into that relationship with him. And so the Ten Commandments are given by God as a gift. They tell the Israelites, and by extension, they tell us as well, as followers of Christ, how to live in a loving and life-giving relationship with God, how to live in a loving and life-giving relationship with our faith community and with everyone else as well. Now, the first four commandments concern our relationship to God, and they begin with God's commanding that Israel will have no other God but him. Now, why is that? Well, I think you don't have to think about it long, but it begins by the fact that the Lord is 100% committed to having a life-giving relationship with his children, with us. God is all in for us. And for you to have all the life that God has for you, you have to be all in for God. I mean, think about marriage. This is this comparison is used throughout Scripture. How can any marriage flourish and realize its full potential for intimacy and satisfaction if either spouse is less than 100% committed to the other? And so the Lord reminds Israel, he's already in a completely committed relationship with them because he set them free from slavery. And just as God set Israel free from slavery in Egypt, so God sets us free from the guilt and death of sin. And he does that through Jesus Christ. And so he says, "You are to have no other gods before me." God is all in with us. And so God calls us to be all in with him. And the second commandment, it's really meant to be the extension of the first. And it's meant to save us from the destructive deception that our lives and our well-being are in the hands of someone or something other than the God who loves us. That's why we're to have no other idols, because that's deceptive. Our lives and our well-being are in the God who loves us and sets us free. And so God, as an extension of that first commandment, calls us to worship only Him. I'm going to skip to the fourth commandment, the commandment of Sabbath. Now, that is pure gift from God. Okay, so kids, raise your hand if your favorite part of your school day is recess. Anybody? Well, okay, adults, when you were a kid, what was your favorite part of the school day? Wasn't it recess? Right? Or, okay, for me it was lunch, but it's close, you know. So, you know what? God commands recess, right? God commands recess for adults, for kids, for all of us. Why is that? God tells us in His Word it's because God likes to play and God likes to rest as well. And so He gives this good gift to us. How great is it that God tells His children, you must go out and play. Stop working. Take a rest. You and everyone in your household. What a gift. God is all in for you. Commandments reveal that. Now, the last six commandments were given by the Lord to help Israel create the kind of loving community we would all want to live in. You know, honoring parents, not killing others, not betraying your spouse, not taking or even desiring what doesn't belong to you. Creates a community and a way of life that is both freeing and noteworthy. It bears witness out in the world. And these commandments, these rules, are given, all of them, to prevent the breakdown in relationship between God and us, and between us as a community of faith and with the rest of the world. They are God's gift that enables our lives to flourish. Which brings me back to the rule which we had in our home when Charlie was first going to Edgebrook School. During those years, you want to know what my favorite time of each school day was for me as Charlie's dad? You can probably guess it. When I got to walk Charlie to school or walk with him home from school. And you know why? It's because when I got to be with my son and listen to him talk about what Pokemon cards he traded for that day or why he liked having Mrs. Venna as his favorite teacher, we just got closer together. And because we had this rule, we had this opportunity to get closer as a father and a son. Living by this one rule gave us a wonderful opportunity to grow closer. And it's the same with the Ten Commandments. Living by these commandments will root us deeper in our relationship to God. Living by the Ten Commandments will cause us to grow closer to God. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt, nothing makes God happier than being close to His children. Thanks be to God. Amen.